Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
Blood Puddle.
Fur Circus. Steven Ricker's Testicles.
T-Butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we go, the second hour of the amusement park, and it is that segment known as Comet Tales with our star reporter and insider, Michael Shockley, the senior writer and webmaster of the Comet Chronicles. How about those comets, Michael Shockley? They are looking good, and a huge transaction today with Aaron Clark rejoining the club.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's my insight.
No, we're done with that. We're done with that insight stuff. It's all about the Comets from here on out.
If we're going to have to talk about one of the teams in Indiana that's not the Iceman, I'm talking about the Fuel.
I don't know. You can be replaced by Don Breck, and he'll wear a siren.
That'd be good radio.
He'll wear a light right here in the radio
studio.
There'd
be a buzzing in the background from his helmet all day long.
Anyways, this is the second segment, Iceman Insights, starring Michael Shockley, the senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, as well as the Dirty D, here on 96.9 FM Wired Radio. How you doing, Michael Shockley?
Wet? Cold?
17 inches of snow out there.
Yeah.
And predicting to get 5 feet more.
I know. It's going to be like Buffalo.
Yes. Kentucky is officially shut down until June.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're going to be going to school until Labor Day.
And they're playing outside today at the Ford Center.
Playing yeah, in the blew the roof off.
Yeah, Civic Center, playing in the parking lot.
Sounds
it's
like
be
fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I like it.
Impromptu Winter Classic.
Injury and transaction report.
Holy cow, there's a lot of stuff that's happened since our last show, and it doesn't mention Pab Thwabby once.
Really?
No. Wednesday the 18th, the day of our last show, we had speculated that the Icemen may claim Brandon Kamm off of waivers from the Cincinnati Cyclones, and they indeed did. He is now wearing number 35 and has started all four games since he was claimed. He's 1-3 but has a .908 save percentage.
Garrett Bartis.
I believe he's still with Kalamazoo, is he not?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Ah.
At Cincinnati that night, three different players did return from injury. Danny Hobbs had a knee injury that kept him out 23 games, and then Bo Driscoll and Dan Sova both returned from their conkies after missing four games each. And on the flip side, Peter Sakaris did not play in that game. He was resting the sore hammy that had limited to just serving penalties in the previous three games. Saturday the 21st, Sakaris returned at Kalamazoo, and Phil Buschbacher was a healthy scratch, which was the first time in a long time that we've had one.
Does he get an award or something like that?
It's really uncomfortable when you go a good long time without a healthy scratch.
Yeah, it is true.
That is true.
Giggle, giggle.
Yeah.
I feel like Beavis and Butthead. Healthy scratch.
Oh,
anyways,
I'm sure our audience. Good note.
Yeah, I'm sure our audience is just sitting on the edge of their chairs right now.
Yep. Monday, the 23rd, the Iceman signed forward Justin McDonald. He is in his fourth professional season, but is a rookie by ECHL rules because all of his prior experience was in the SPHL and the FHL. In 124 career games in the SP, he had 60 points. And this season in the Federal League, he had 44 goals, 102 points, and a plus 35 rating in 46 games. When the Iceman signed him,
it's
they kinda were...
kind of shabby, to be honest. I mean, you have 100 points in 44 games, and you're only plus 35?
Yeah, you should be plus a million.
Nice. Math is hard.
Math is hard. When the Iceman signed him, they dubbed it as having signed, quote, North American professional hockey's leading scorer, end quote, which is true. It is the Federal League, but it is true. And when he was signed, Al Sims said on ESPN 105.3 that the kid has good speed and hands, thought his SPHL numbers were only mediocre because he wasn't used right. He was treated as a depth guy in more of a checking line role. And he thinks that McDonald could really light the lamp if he gets ice time with true talent, and he's going to treat him as a scorer. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. He is so far. Tuesday the 24th. The Iceman swapped leading scorers with South Carolina. Brandon Wong goes to the Stingrays, and Braden Pym comes to Evansville. Pym is a rookie out of British Columbia. He had 35 points in 45 games with South Carolina, but has been red hot lately. He had 13 points and a plus 12 rating in 8 February games before coming to the Iceman. And Sims said about Pym that was all about getting younger and faster. He sees Pym as a younger version of Wong and hopes to sign him for next season. Worth noting, that deal was announced by the Iceman as a trade, but officially was not. Both those players are on AHL contracts, Wong with Binghamton and Pym with the Hershey Bears. Thus, since neither player is under ECHL contract, Evansville and South Carolina literally cannot trade players they don't own contractually. It was just a case of the AHL clubs recalling and then reassigning the players to non-affiliate ECHL teams. They retained their AHL contract rights as they had had them.
So how is Sims planning on keeping Pym here for next year?
He's going to have to sign him to an ECHL deal.
So he's
under contract.
One-year?
Yeah, okay. He's on a one-year AHL deal with Hershey. So he would have to either convince him to request coming here if he's on another AHL deal, or sign him to an ECHL deal. There's been talk about, well, we can just protect him, but you can't protect a guy you don't have under contract.
Yep.
So it's kind of rolling the dice, but it would have been the same with Wong. We couldn't protect him either,
right,
because he
yep.
was also on an AHL deal. So one way or the other, I think it's a case of trying to get a younger guy in here that he's hoping he can sign to an ECHL deal and keep him around. So, on Wednesday the 25th at Fort Wayne, Pym, wearing number 22, and McDonald, wearing number 27, both scored in their Iceman debuts.
Nice.
And they played on a line with Danny Hobbs. And with the two of them scoring in their debuts, that means we now have had 6 different players score in their Iceman debut this season, and 4 others scored in their second game with the team. So, while this team hasn't scored a lot of goals, they're scoring a lot of goals when guys are playing their first or second game. So I think it was Patrick McBrien said, does this mean we need to just have a whole new team every game?
I like it.
Maybe.
Why not?
That's the key. also on the 25th, we added 3 new players to the injury list. They did not play against the Comets that night. Jordan Sims sat out with a knee injury. Jarrett Lucan sat out with the flu. And Daniel Johnston sat out with an undisclosed injury, which we will get to later.
Hint, hint.
Yes. Saturday the 28th, the Iceman played at home against Cincinnati. Jordan Sims returned to the lineup, but Lucan and Johnston did not. Sunday the 1st, this past Sunday, Chris Dreger returned to the Iceman by the Ottawa Senators. To make room for him, Brent Troyan, who had dressed for 12 games as the backup goalie but never actually played, was released. Dreger had dressed in Ottawa as the Sens backup for 5 games but never did play. And part of the reason he didn't play was because
holy moly,
Andrew Hammond is the Hamburglar.
Yes,
is lights out, 5-0 in 5 starts with 2 shutouts, a 1.00 goals against average, a .968 save percentage, and he is the current number 1 star of the week in the National Hockey League. Not bad for a guy who had an .887 save percentage in the AHL.
That's why I said stats don't mean anything, especially with the goaltenders.
It's crazy. In Ottawa, Robin Lehner is still out with a concussion, but Craig Anderson is now healthy enough to play, so that's why Dreger was no longer needed up there. Worth noting, we talked about it in vague terms last show about the money difference.
Yep.
The Ottawa Citizen confirmed Dreger made $3,840 per day in the NHL compared to $370 per day in the minors. But to Dreger's credit, he told the paper that he would play in the NHL for free because he was having a blast. So there you have it. Monday the 2nd, 2 days ago, Danny Hobbs recalled by Binghamton and Troy Rutkowski reassigned to Binghamton by Ottawa. Apparently they have some injuries in Bingo, needed reinforcements, so they came a-calling. Also, Miles Bell activated from injured reserve. He is expected to return tonight versus Kalamazoo after missing 7 games with an eye injury. And the word going around is that Lucan and Johnston are also expected to return, but we shall see. The NHL trade deadline was Monday. The Senators were quiet. They did not make any moves as a buyer or seller. But the AHL trade deadline is this coming Monday the 9th, and the ECHL deadline is next Thursday the 12th. So more moves could be coming. Sims says he is definitely evaluating players for the future at this point. He expects only a select few to return next season, and we could see 15 to 16 new players next year. Among the players who may actually return, the few, could be Thomas Frazee and Robin Sudek. On ESPN 105.3 last week, Sims was very complimentary of both of them, and he mentioned that Frazee specifically told him he does not want to be traded, and he wants to be a part of this team next year. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and one of the things I wanted to bring up with you is some stuff happened on the Asylum, as per usual, about...
Wait, what? Yeah,
drama.
That never happened.
On the internet. You can pipe it up on the WW if you want to see it.
Nicely done.
But supposedly a player asked to be traded, and some of the people on there said, well, if he doesn't want to be here, good. Let's get rid of him. And then you have the flip side where the master, Rick Llewellyn, posting another fantastic Photoshop picture of, who was it? Space Ace, Brad Perkins, painted up with the holding the Kelly Cup with a road with billboards going down the road saying there's always next year or the year after that or the year after that or the year after that.
There's like 20 of those
signs. Yes, it's endless. And really, at this point, with this very disappointing season, are you we're building for next year and this is, you know, we're looking for guys and if you don't want to be here, be gone? Or are you this organization is really struggling, and no matter what we do at this year, to finish off this season and next year's signing, are they going to be a playoff team?
Well, I think it's way too early to say they are going to be a playoff team. I think the potential is there depending on who Sims can bring in. And there comes a point where I think year after year after year of losing is going to start hurting his ability to bring guys in. But I don't think players will penalize the Iceman for that next year because it will be the first season under Sims. And I think when you have 4 championships on your resume, I think people will want to play for you and perhaps naively assume that it's not necessarily just the organization. It's about having the right organization and the right coach. And now the Iceman may have that right coach to lead this team to the promised land, or at the very least, a playoff berth. So I don't know how much you can learn about next season based on how the end of this season goes. I think probably more than anything, it's about Sims learning who not to bring back. I think there may be a couple guys, the Frazee, the Sudek, that you seriously consider bringing back next year. But I think what he's talking about is completely blowing it up and maybe bring 2-3 guys back, and otherwise it's a whole bunch of new faces. And I think that's what you have to do. Like I posted on the Asylum a few days ago, there comes a point where you have to just blow it up, start over, and try something different. The Indy Fuel owners told their coach back at Christmas when they were struggling and still behind the Iceman, I would rather lose with different players than lose with the players we have here. Translation being, the status quo is not working, so why stick to it? If the status quo is not working, make changes. And if those changes don't work, so be it. You weren't doing well to begin with. But you have to start making changes. And there comes a point where we have to stop bringing back 7-8 guys from every losing team and start truly rebuilding the roster. You know, when you bring back 7-8 guys at this level, that's half your team. You only play 15 players, essentially. You know, you'll have that 10th forward that's going to take a few shifts, but for the most part, you're playing 15 players every game. And if you bring 7-8 guys back from a losing team, half of your roster is from a losing team. And at some point, no matter how much you like guys individually, you have to just say, they're not getting it done collectively, and try to work with a different group of individuals and hope they can collectively do it.
I guess my question, and kudos to Frazier. I'm not saying anything bad about him. He wants to stay here in town. He doesn't want to get traded. That's awesome. That's a class character move. But I have no problem. Who would want to play on this team? This year, why would you want to play on this team when you have an opportunity to get traded to somebody to make a playoff run? It's, you know, and how, as fans, we cannot, if someone goes to management and says, I want out of here, after this season, how can you not respect that and say, here's a guy that just wants to go somewhere and try to win a championship?
Right.
And how can you penalize someone for wanting to leave this town after the debacle this is? And this is a total debacle. I have no problem with the organization moving away from Jeff Pyle. Winning season last year, they move away from Jeff Pyle. They move away from Matt Krug. They let Dylan Clark go. You let Lauren Barron go. So you let Nathan Moon go after he has something happens between him and the organization. All those guys are gone, and we are the absolute, what's our term?
DFL.
DFL. We are the absolute worst team in the entire ECHL. So how can you penalize anyone? How could you make any character judgment about someone who wants to leave this organization by next Thursday?
Well, I think it's important to remember at this level, when guys are trying to work their way up, they are loyal to themselves first. They're not loyal to a team. They're not loyal to the fan base. And that's just how it is. That doesn't mean they're bad guys. They just want to move up. And it's easier to move up if you are winning and being noticed in the playoffs versus buried on a last place team. And I think it's a kind of a catch-22. You want to hear guys like Frazee say, I want to be here. But at the same time, you want guys who want to win. So if you know, you can't fault a guy for wanting to leave if he's not winning here and he wants to win elsewhere. But on the flip side, you can look at it and say, well, maybe if you worked a little harder here, we would be winning. So I don't know.
But no, you can't. I mean, you look at this team going back to October and November. We watched the defensive zone coverage of this team. It was appalling.
Uh-huh.
It was absolutely
appalling.
Has been
since day one.
And I don't care. They talk about simplifying the defense. Honest to goodness, defense is not that difficult. There's five guys attacking your net, and there's five guys on your ice defending the net and a goalie in it. That all kind of matches up.
Yeah.
There's five going in two directions. It really is just man-to-man coverage.
Wait. So five are equal?
And five are equal. Math is hard.
Wow.
So that's just my take on the whole situation. And I've had broadcasters come on here, great broadcasters. We've had Mike Meduno from Kalamazoo. We've had Andy Zilch, who's up in Springfield now. He was with Greenville last year. We've had Mark Thompson from Reading. We've had DJ Abzisala from Wheeling. And all of them, whether they've talked on our airwaves or off the air with me, have mentioned it takes a good solid 3 years for a coach to put his program in. He's got to put his program in, and he has to get his players. Then the next year, he has to retain his players and add more players to it. And so we are starting all over again with another coach. That's one strike against us. Two, and I mentioned it on our last show, Ottawa is a horrible organization. It starts with their owner. Eugene Melnyk is a horrible, horrible owner. You just Google all the issues that the Ottawa Senators organization has had.
The Canadian media is all over that story too.
And granted, you know, we had a difficult time with St. Louis 2 years ago. Last year we had a rough patch with Springfield. There were some frustrations there. But at least they sent us talent. At least they sent us Clemente, Joe Lavin, Thomas Larkin, Jeremy Austin Medeski, Jeremy Langlois. What has Ottawa sent us? You know, Danny Hobbs, tough season with the injuries. And Brandon Wong played solid, but what depth do they have other than the goaltending? Are they going to help us with next year? So you've got Al Sims, who's handcuffed with his first-year coach, trying to find players that he's going to have to bring in. You've got a horrible organization that we're attached to for another year. I don't see how this team even gets close to 22 wins next year. It's going to take 3 years to build this thing up.
Hopefully, Sims is given that opportunity.
And that's the whole other question.
That's what we have to point to is does he want to be here in 5 years, and does Ron Geary want him to be here in 5 years? And if that's the case, then you have to look at it long term and say, we just want to improve next year. If we make the playoffs, gravy. But if we don't, at least we'll hopefully win more than 15 games.
Yeah, you would. I think the Red Dragons can win more than 15 games.
You got to think it can't get much worse.
Yes, exactly. Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com. The Maniac Message Board is the place to find out the latest Iceman transaction and roster news. I had to use it last week. I was up north hanging out with Grandma in the great white northlands of northern lower Michigan, and I get this text that Brandon Wong has moved on. I'm like, what the crap's going on? So I had to head on over to IcemanManiacs.com.
Yeah, you just go there and you click on the thread that says Pueb Thobby.
Yeah, Pueb Thwabby. And then you scroll through about 87 pages.
Of transactions, yeah.
Well, no, of Michael Shockley talking about his chocolate thunder since our last show.
Yeah, buddy. The Iceman played 4 games since our last show, and hey, we didn't lose them all. We went 1-3. Yay! Wednesday the 18th, a 2-0 loss at Cincinnati. Got outshot 31-15.
Did we have 7 power plays in that game, too?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows? Brandon Kahn made 29 saves and was the number 3 star of the game. The lone positive on that was it ended a team streak of 7 straight games with 3 or more goals allowed. So, yay! Saturday the 21st, a legitimate yay.
Where did this come from?
I don't know. Even a broken clock is right twice a day, I guess. The Iceman, with a 7-3 victory at Kalamazoo, snapped an 8-game losing streak and set a season high for goals in the game. Calm, again a star, was the number 1 star of the game with 28 saves. Points all around. Jarrett Lucan and Troy Rutkowski had a goal and 2 assists each. Sudek and Mark Anthoyne a goal and an assist each. Peter Sakaris, Zach Curry, Colin Murray also scored. And Travis Granbois had 2 assists and was plus 4. And I didn't go back and look early in the season when we actually won a few games, but that might be the first plus 4 all season. If it's not, it's one of few. So that was good, but then back to the losing on Wednesday the 25th, a 4-3 loss at Fort Wayne. The Iceman led 2-0 and 3-1, but the Comets scored the game's final 3 goals.
They are tough in the third period.
Yes, they are.
Crazy good.
The Iceman outshot 51-25 in that game, including 20-3 in the third period. The 51 shots allowed is a season high. Calm made 47 saves, also a season high, and was the number 3 star. It's not often a goalie gives up 4 goals and is still one of the 3 stars of the game, but he deserved it. The goals in that game were by Pym and McDonald, as mentioned earlier, and Danny Hobbs, their line mate, although Hobbs's was a shorty. And then Saturday the 28th, this past Saturday, a 4-2 loss at home against Cincinnati. It was Calm's first home start, and he made 25 saves. McDonald scored both of our goals. He now has 3 goals in his first 2 games, so a pretty good start for him. Cincinnati had 2 power play goals and a nice goal on a backdoor cutter, but their third goal was pretty much a microcosm of the season for the Icemen. It was scored on a 2-on-2 rush, and both of our defensemen, Sova and Martel, took the same player. They both take the puck carrier. The non-puck carrier gets behind both of them and catches a pass all alone in on Calm and converts it into a goal. And I wrote down when that happened, that's the way this season has gone for the Iceman. Did have a good crowd of 7,616, but unfortunately, Matt Spaeth's magic has worn off. The Man Crush was one of the linesmen in that game, but the Iceman lost. It was our first regulation loss of the season with him in the zebra stripes, We're now 3-1-1 with him on the ice this year after going 5-1-2 with him last year.
I believe that'll be the last time he comes to town for this season.
Will it?
Yep.
Unfortunate. Yep.
And then he had to took him about 6 hours to get home because they got pelted with snow in St. Louis.
Did you get to hang out with him?
Only he came in late because of the snow, so I sharpened his skates for him and made him a coffee, and we chit-chatted a little bit. But he is planning, we are planning a St. Louis trip where I'm going to go out there and spend a weekend, and we're going to watch some Blues games. He wanted to get tickets, and I said, I would love to go and see a Blues game, but I also love just going to a sports bar
just
in
watch.
The area yeah. And be with the crowd, yeah. And so we're going to set something up. So
cool. So the Icemen are now 13-35-6 on the season.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 13-35-6. That's 30,
DFL.
32 points, which is a .296 winning percentage.
It's embarrassing.
At least, however, we have not lost a game 12-0, which happened a couple
Woo!
Weeks ago. Did you
yes,
see that?
Yeah, I did.
Toledo beat Gwinnett on Sunday the 22nd, 12-0. So I guess it could be worse. The Icemen are indeed DFL in the ECHL, but believe it or not, we are not the worst team in North America.
What?
I did some research.
Oh, good golly.
I looked up the stats from 10 leagues. The NHL, the AHL, the ECHL, the SPHL, and the FHL. That's the five highest professional leagues in North America. Canada's three major junior leagues, the WHL, OHL, and QMJHL. And America's top two junior leagues, the USHL and the NHL. That is 203 total teams. The Icemen, out of 203, are 198.
Hey, there you go. Pursuit of excellence.
Yeah, exactly. So the five that are worse are SPHL Huntsville, FHL Steel City, OHL Sudbury, and there's two teams in the NAHL that are worse, Kenai River and the Odessa Jackalopes.
Where is Kenai River?
Beats a hell out of me. It's on a river.
There you go.
So anyway, yeah, so it could be worse. I did the math, too, because math is hard, and I know other people would probably break their brains trying to figure it out. We need 55 points by season's end to avoid being the worst team in Iceman history based on win percentage.
Not going to happen.
That means we need 23 points in our final 18 games, which means we need to play 639 hockey down the stretch.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Not going to happen. We are not yet mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but could be by the time we do our next show next week. If we keep losing and Cincinnati, Kalamazoo, and Indy keep winning, we could be mathematically eliminated in 1 week. It would take a lot for that to happen that fast, but my guess is probably by 2 weeks out we will be.
Shockers, hockey, rock, song of the week.
So last week the Ford Center announced that Aerosmith will be coming to town in June, which will be their first Evansville concert in 11 years, so we'll feature them. Now, this is a song I played at Swander whenever the opponent got a penalty, particularly if it was a player with long hair. This is Aerosmith, Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Youth Inc. has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youth Inc. has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youth Inc. family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we're back. Second hour of the amusement park. Shocker. Dirty D. Iceman Insights. 96.9 FM. Wired Radio. Let's bring it.
Mad speculation.
Oh, yeah.
By the mad scientist, Dr. Dirty D, which is 100% free of facts because the truth hurts way more than just making stuff up. Last time we did this, we learned that Jim McKenzie missed a game because he was experiencing erratic palpitations of the human spirit. Treatment for which was to get traded, yeah. And lo and behold, he hasn't gotten traded, and he ain't back yet.
There
so you
go.
Must know what yep. you're talking about. This week, our case of the week is Daniel Johnston. He has already dealt with proprioception, and before that, the infamous gelatinous tubercles of purulent ossification.
That's a favorite.
Yes. He has now missed the last two Iceman games with an undisclosed injury, as mentioned in the first segment. So... undisclosed no more. Would the Dirty D care to disclose what is ailing Mr. Johnston?
It's not looking very good. It's one of those spinal type nervous system kind of injuries.
Ooh, those are serious.
Yes. And the medical term that refers to the abnormality is claustrospelunker.
Really?
Yes. He has a claustrospelunker abnormality in his nervous system.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. That's why they pay me the big bucks.
You know, claustro makes me think of claustrophobia.
Yes.
So does that,
and spelunking makes me think of a cave.
Caves, right. Yes. So does this just mean that he gets nervous when he's in caves?
I don't. What? It has nothing to
it's
do
with the nervous system.
Well, it's
that's
different.
What it means, right?
Yes. No. We're not talking about anxiety.
Hashtag
we're talking,
anatomy is hard.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Did that dump.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I got a new phrase for you.
Taters?
In reference to that, yeah.
Okay.
The other day we were watching something on Disney Junior, and they mentioned jumping beans. And Evan apparently thinks that it is because he's been saying it like this ever since. Junk and beans.
Junk and beans.
So I'm like, that's pretty good. Huh? That's a good euphemism for the old twig and berries. You got hit in the junk and beans.
Yep, I like it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Daniel Johnston, an abnormality in his claustrospelunker.
Learn something new every day.
There you go.
Hoosier Hockey Championship belt. Quick update.
Oh, good God. How can you even... And granted, it was a cool idea at the beginning of the year, but... it's just embarrassing to see you posted on Facebook with a team that has 13 wins, yet they still have an opportunity to win this championship. We've got to modify this thing for next year.
It's how it's been lined out since the beginning of the season.
It needs to be fixed.
Friday the 27th, Indy beat the Fort Wayne Comets 3-2 in overtime up in Fort Wayne to win the title for the first time. And then the next night, the 28th, they had to defend it, and they were successful in doing so, beating the Comets 5-4 in a shootout. Indy's next title defense will be against the Iceman at the Ford Center this Friday night.
You can visit IcemanManiacs.com and click on the championship belt graphic to find game results, title reign info, and schedule details. And please message me if you do that, because I want to actually know how many people are tracking this besides my co-host.
It's had like over 1,300.
Now, I want to know now. Now, if anyone really is tracking it. The East Sense jersey auction. Beautiful jersey.
They were auctioned.
Notice it didn't have stupid crap all over it. It wasn't
good
wrapped.
It
wasn't
jersey.
Wrapped like a Christmas wrapping, and it didn't have friggin' Dr. Seuss all over it. It wasn't the Batman and the Joker. It was a traditional hockey culture jersey.
You know, I've been telling Brian Voll since we went to the Ford Center, they need to do a heritage jersey for the Icemen. and have a throwback jersey night where we wear the first season jersey that had the skyline along the bottom.
Yeah, it was a beauty.
But just with the current logo.
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome. And I think people would pay good money to get them, too.
Imagine that.
Because I wear,
and it would be a hockey jersey.
Yeah. I wear my season one jersey to the games every now and then, and without fail, every time I wear one, I'll be walking through the concourse and somebody will stop me and ask where I got it, or was that a jersey auction, or they're thinking it was a special jersey.
Yep.
No, it was just our season one jersey when we had 500 fans.
The way we looked.
Yeah.
Before we got baby blued.
But anyway, the East End's jerseys were auctioned off after the game on Saturday night against
Cincinnati.
Before
we got blue bean.
The total was $17,550, which is a season high. The average was $627. The top five were Peter Sakaris, $900 for Sakaris. Little Bo Driscoll, second at $750. Rutkowski at $725, and then Danny Hobbs and Chris Driedger at $700
each. Kind of surprising. Driedger only $700 for the first ever Iceman in the NHL.
Yeah. I was surprised by that, too, honestly. The cheapest amount was $500, and there were four of them at that. The aforementioned Daniel Johnston, Mark Anthoyen, Phil Buschbacher, and backup goalie to the Stars, Brent Troyen. The full list of the jersey auction results is up on IcemanManiacs.com on the Maniac message board.
I'm glad I don't have to read about it in my Facebook feed anymore. Michael Shockley, do you have it up yet? Michael Shockley, do you have it up yet? Michael Shockley, is it posted yet? Are you going to post it? Did you take notes, Michael Shockley, on the jersey auction?
Trust
Did
me.
Did you take notes?
I got it up. It just took longer than usual.
Jeepers. Creepers.
Did you?
Did
you not listen to what I just said?
Yeah, I did.
We're
at that point. I mean, we're on our seventh innuendo. It's just, you know, what are you going to do?
All right.
It's not even worth making innuendos now.
Yeah.
To the person that bought the Johnston jersey, you're going to want to dry clean that because that claustrospelunker is contagious.
Ooh.
Yeah, get that.
Not good.
Get that dry cleaned.
Gotcha.
Maniac bus trip.
The Booster Club.
Yes.
The Booster Club is planning a bus
trip. We brought our fans with us.
Yeah. We're taking a bus trip to Cincinnati for the Iceman Cyclones game on Saturday, April 4th. That is the weekend after the home finale. Our group tickets will be at a steep discount compared to the regular single game rate over there. And you can buy just game tickets or tickets with the bus ride. Prices, information, and whatnot will be announced by the end of the week on IcemanManiacs.com, and it will be open to Booster Club members and non-members. All fans can go. Booster Club members will get a discount if they're wanting to do the bus part. But anyone can go, and the details will be announced later this week.
Can I buy a bus and game ticket for my 8-year-old daughter and send her?
By herself?
Yeah.
Trying to get rid of her?
Just for a night.
I don't know that that's legal, but if you choose to do so, you can purchase the tickets.
She can just hang out with Michael Shockley the whole time. She would have a blast.
She probably would.
Brian Patafi tweets, the week.
Speaking of bus trips, this was from when the team bus was stuck in traffic on the interstate due to a wreck on the way to Cincinnati for the last game over there.
Been there.
Yeah. That seems to be a running theme with this team. Patafi said, quote, moving about as fast as Todd Robinson heading to the defensive zone.
Ooh, zing. Yeah, they never get old.
I like it.
They never get old. Of course, Todd Robinson's 2 years with this team will be better than
this
team
this year. Yeah.
So, yeesh. Upcoming games.
Four home games in the next week as the Icemen literally play every other day for the next week. Starting tonight, the 4th, against Kalamazoo at 7:15 at home. It will be the last visit by the K-Wings this season, and of course, it is weather permitting. There are some rescheduling options if the game is not able to be played tonight due to the weather. But as of when we are discussing this right now, it has not
been
postponed.
In the studio, live.
It has not been postponed, so we shall see. Friday the 6th against Indy at 7:15, last visit of the season by the Fuel. As mentioned, the Hoosier Hockey Championship belt will be on the line, and it is the first game against Indy, here or there, since Vincent Arsenault's conky hat trick. So there could be repercussions.
I want to bring some.
If our entire roster hasn't been turned over by then, and anyone that plays on Friday was here when it happened.
I want to bring this up. I was watching Game Center this past Saturday night and got to, sometimes you get the intermission shows, sometimes you don't, and just lucked out. Hockey Night in Canada, Don Cherry, intermission show, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the Maple Leafs and how you want to talk about suck.
Yeah.
Every team I root for is in the midst of major suck. But he was talking about the Leafs and how teams were coming in, and he watched the game earlier in the week, and they panned the visiting bench, and the players were all laughing and joking because the Leafs were such an easy victory that that in the middle of the game, these guys are joking. And Don Cherry brought up, no one laughed when they came to play Toronto 2 years ago. That's when Toronto led the league in fighting majors.
Yeah.
And it was a tough bare knuckle, not dirty, but it was you knew you were in for 60 minutes of hockey.
You take liberties and you're going to pay.
And you look at this Iceman team that is made this year, and granted, I'm a huge Matt Krug fan. I recognize that. But you look at that team that we had last year with Thomas Larkin, Matt Krug, Guy Lapine, Sawyer Hanna in the first half of the year. This team was hard to play against every night, mm-hmm. game in, game out, on the road or at home, and especially at home. And so much so that at the middle part of the season, we're getting fights out of Lauren Barron. We're getting fights out of Peter Sakaris. We got Patrick Kennedy. We got Matt Lowry when he comes back from the AHL dropping the gloves. This was a hard, tenacious, physical team.
It was a beat you or beat you up trying.
Yes. And we have no semblance of that. We brought in one guy that was going to try and take all that fighting pressure on him alone. And
now he's not here anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And he couldn't be controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had to move on. But how do you believe in that mindset? And I'm not just saying fighting for fighting's sake and all the shenanigans and going out to center ice and everything else. I'm just saying being a tough team to fight against, to play against. I don't know, you know, probably one of the things we should have looked at, hindsight being 2020, with Dwight Mullins to come into town, is how did he not bring Rob Bellamy with him? You know, that guy was the captain, physical, agitator, the whole thing, and he goes down to South Carolina when Mullins comes here. And, you know, and of all the guys he brought, other than Jakub Sulek, I would have really liked to see Bellamy in this. You know, we lost everyone else, and we wouldn't bring Krug back, and we didn't bring any real physical force, and now you see where we are.
Yeah, it's been an odd year in the physical realm. This team will hit a lot. I mean, I do the hit stats at the home games, and they do hit a lot. But it seems like other than Harvey, the long-departed Harvey, there has not been a ton of fighting. And there's been games here and there, and there was a stretch in November, December, I think, where they fought a lot for about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's been fairly sparse. And there's been a lot of times when you'll see it where they'll fight. Someone will step up and fight when it really needs to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's quite as much of an intimidation factor. You know, you want to be that team that is hard to play against, and where just the mere presence of certain players on your roster will force the opposition to be held accountable.
Yes.
And they know that if they step out of line, they will be held accountable. And I think that goes a long way. That's one of those sort of unwritten, unspoken things that just is. And, I think there's definitely kind of a void on this team with that. And part of the problem is Guy Lapine has spent half the season in the AHL. That was one of those guys that would kind of be that sheriff, and he's in the AHL, and Harvey's gone, and who's left? And Lowry's been traded away, and I think he was second on the team in fights when he got traded away. So.
Well, and he's had a couple of tilts up in Fort Wayne since he's left. So
we'll see. I don't know. I just hope somebody forces Arsenault to answer the bell. And, you know, I'm not saying that we need to go out and try to deliver a concussion to him, but you have to answer in some way. If you knock three guys out in two games, you need to pay the price.
Yep.
And that price doesn't have to necessarily be more than just stand up like a man, drop the gloves, fight somebody, and it's over.
Yep.
But at this point, with this roster, I don't know who's going to force him to do that. I hope somebody does.
Yeah. One of my other frustrations is, we talked about it in the summer, about when they announced that Josh Beaulieu was retiring and they were going to retire his number into the roster or into the rafters. And I really, really loved the idea because now we had an identity. Now the Evansville Iceman had an identity of what it was like to be an Evansville Iceman. You were Josh Beaulieu. You were hard hitting, fast, talented, goal-scoring, could drop the gloves. I mean, 2 years ago he had 24 goals to lead the team or 22 goals to lead the team or second on the team in goals, and he had 150 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what an Evansville Iceman was, and it's just a shame that that jersey got put up in the rafters for all of us to see. This is what Evansville Iceman is all about. This is what we call our Hall of Fame. And tell me, how do we get 13 Josh Beaulieus on this roster? And I'm not talking about this year, but you know, that's what Al Sims, that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to battle every other team that wins to talk to Josh Beaulieu type players to get them to come here to play next year or over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to take 3 years to rebuild this club.
Can you imagine a team full of Beaulieus, though?
Oh, my gosh.
That would be a nightmare to play against.
It would be fantastic. You probably only need four on the ice at a time.
Yeah. Shorthanded, it'd still be good to go. Yeah.
No doubt about it.
So, anywho, continue our upcoming games. On Sunday the 8th, the Icemen will face Wheeling at 5 o'clock. The first 5,000 fans, which I don't know that the Sunday games typically even get 5,000 fans. But the first 5,000 fans will get thunder sticks, and it will be another pause and pucks.
Not tummy sticks.
Wow. I'm sorry. It will be another paws and pucks pet adoption night, so be forewarned if you're going in with small children that you're going to be asked to take a puppy home. And then, man, next Tuesday, half of our audience right now is going, what's a tummy stick?
Yeah.
Let's hope that Andy Fuller is too. next Tuesday, the 10th. We will face Wheeling again at 7:15. It will be the last visit of the season by the Nailers. And do you have some special plans that evening?
I do not. I'm going to try and get myself on the radio.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
For both Sunday and Tuesday. So actually, after the show here, I'll be firing off a text to DJ. Wheeling played Monday and Tuesday, so I didn't want to bother him. But I'm going to fire off a text and try to figure out if he needs me or not. And hopefully I'm up in the press box doing a couple of games for Naylor Radio.
Cool.
They need the points desperately. They're now in sixth place, but they're still only – they got a game in hand and 4 points out.
Yeah.
So.
Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, they're all like 3 points separated.
So they still have an opportunity to, and they made it to the second round last year of the playoffs, so they really want to get into the dance. So we'll see.
So.
We should see some good hockey. What's up next?
The dangling tangent.
Oh.
This is a quick one. I just wanted to ask. You mentioned last show that you were going to take Ivy to see Disney on Ice, so how was it?
It was fantastic.
Was it more entertaining than the Iceman on Ice?
I actually had that bullet in my chamber because I was waiting. You never know when Brian Patafi's going to throw my Maple Leafs under the bus and if he on Twitter, and if he would have done said atrocity and made fun of my Toronto Maple Leafs. I was firing back with, I saw 8 victories at the Ford Center. It was called Disney on Ice.
Did you get out of there for less than $50?
Yeah.
Really?
Actually, we didn't buy. Actually, we bought a gift for somebody. But usually, Ivy knows what she wants, and we go every year, and she sees a bunch of stuff. But it really isn't anything she needs. Mm. She's got cooler things and everything else.
She's got princess stuff out the wazoo.
Exactly. So. We're usually pretty, but we had a big group. Neighbor boy went with us. Neighbor girlfriend went with us. Our good friends, Susie and Pat Hansen, who've done some off-ice officiating with the Icemen, they went as well as another, my brother-in-law's baby mama.
Ah.
And baby. That was pretty cool. 3-year-old singing all the Frozen songs. But I really liked it. It was the best skating I've seen. They really pushed the skating element, doubles and triples and edge work and everything else. So I thought it was fantastic. Rebecca liked other ones that she had seen in the past because they were better choreographed, more with the stage and stuff like that. But my favorite one, they did it again this year, is Sleeping Beauty. And they bring out a dragon in 4 parts with 4 skaters, and it glows in the dark, and it spits fire.
Huh.
It is a great special effect. So when you have the prince, I think his name is Henry or something like that. And when he attacks the dragon at the end, and it's a fantastic fight. So I got to see that one again, and that one's always my favorite.
We didn't go this year, but we went last year. Did you go last year?
I've seen since Ivy's been 3 years old. Yep.
We went last year, and I was really impressed by the Toy Story one last year. Yep. There was some really cool stuff in that.
Woody actually drank coffee here at Wired Coffee House.
No kidding.
Yeah, because they come into town so early to get the ice set up and everything else, and he was just bored and walking around one day and walked in, and we served him coffee and everything else, and we're like, "You from out of town?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm Woody." And we're like, "Oh, that's so cool.
Awesome."
Yep. So, yeah, that one was really good. They did a quick Princess and the Frog, which is my favorite Disney movie. It was just a quick one song, but the wardrobe they did, like right out of the 20s, Southern Louisiana type outfits for the women and the men, and it was choreographed really well. So, yep, I loved it.
Cool.
So,
good stuff.
I'm a big fan of Disney. Everything they do is class. So, are we going to talk a little NHL trade deadline?
The deadline, as mentioned earlier, was this past Monday. A lot of moves were made, but only a handful of big names moved. A lot of spare parts and third and fourth line kind of grinder-type players.
Really surprised at how many first-round draft picks, some of the value that went for some players that aren't necessarily bad, but like Braden Coburn going from Philly to Tampa Bay, and Tampa giving up a first and a third. Really surprised. Chicago doesn't have a first and second in this year's draft. And everyone's been talking about the depth of this year's draft.
And there's a lot of teams that are just handing away.
So the names didn't surprise me. Everyone kind of knew the names, but I was really surprised at how much teams got.
Yeah. Buffalo, Edmonton, and Arizona continue their tank jobs trying to get one of the top two picks. They're selling off everything with a pulse. Sellers also included New Jersey, Carolina, Columbus, Philly, Dallas, and your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs, which is where we'll start. Probably the most interesting deal of all of them was the Leafs got rid of David Clarkson in his insane contract by shipping
him. It's not that insane. It's just long.
That's true.
I mean, he was a perennial 30-goal scorer.
Until he went to Toronto.
And he got paid $5.25 million. Yeah. It's really not that insane.
It's just really long.
But it was a 7-year deal.
Right. They shipped him to Columbus for Nathan Horton, another guy on a long, big money deal. And it's actually a good deal for both teams. But the Leafs get cap
potentially
space. Yeah. The Leafs get cap space because Horton is on long-term IR.
If he doesn't come back next year.
If he does come back, then the Jackets could not afford to keep Horton on the payroll and keep paying him to not play.
Yes.
They're not concerned about the cap. They're concerned about the real dollars.
Yeah, I think they totally stole the deal.
Yeah. The Leafs can afford to do that if they choose to do so. And right now, yes, indeed, if Horton does not return to play, which there's talk that he may not, then it's a good deal for them too. But the Jackets, it's a good deal regardless. They get Clarkson. They hope he can rediscover the game that made him that big contract kind of player. But if they don't, at least he's a healthy body, and they're not paying $5 million a season for a guy that's not playing a single game. You know, if he's a serviceable second liner, at least that's better than what Horton is looking like he's probably going to be. So,
And I know math is hard, but I'm not a big statistics guy. I like statistics, but so much of the game of hockey is the greatest team sport, because even your best player is only on the ice for less than half the game.
Right.
So, you have to, talent has to play with talent. Yep. You can't just take Sidney Crosby, put him on the Red Dragons, and expect him to put up numbers. He's going to end up being a minus player, because when he's not on the ice, we're going to give up goals. It doesn't work that way, and there's just not talent in Toronto. There's not enough. It's coming. At the beginning of the season, I predicted them to be picking fifth, and that's where they're picking at. So I could tell that this is not a talented team. Clarkson is going to flourish. That Columbus Blue Jackets team, when they get healthy, they are going to be solid.
This year has been a train wreck.
He is a third-line winger that plays on the power play and goes to the front of the net, and he's going to flourish there.
The Leafs also sent defenseman Cody Franson and forward Mike Santarelli to the Nashville Predators for Olli Jokinen, an AHL prospect, and a 2015 first-round pick. Speaking of first-rounders, yep. I think that's a good move for both teams.
Definitely. And what's really interesting nowadays is these teams are trading picks and prospects based on the contract as much as the player.
Yeah.
And Franson is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So Nashville gets him for the playoffs. But then he's not on this, not necessarily on the salary cap next year. So if it doesn't work, you let him go.
Yeah.
If it does work, you've got first opportunity to sign him.
Right.
So it's and that gives him more value. It's so funny. Back in the olden days, you paid value if a guy was locked up for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Nowadays, these teams like the unrestricted free agents.
Yep. The Preds are just 3-5-1 since making the trade. But David Poile said when they made it, "We are doing it now." They did it a week and a half before the deadline. He said, "We're doing it now because we want to allow time to work out the kinks."
Yep.
And I think any time, especially...
And they're kinked.
Yeah, they are kinked. They've lost four in a row. And I think any time you've got a team that's rolling like the Preds were, it's risky when you do bring guys in, even if you clearly on paper are bringing in better players than who you're getting rid of. You can upset the chemistry. Like you said, hockey is a team sport more than any other. And you can have great chemistry with a certain set of players, and even if, in theory, the sum of the parts becomes greater with the moves you make, it can hurt you in the short term until you figure out how to work those parts in to the system that's been working so well. So we'll see. I think the Preds will be fine, but it may take them a little while to get it all sorted out. But I'd rather them slump now than in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of Olli Jokinen, the St. Louis Blues turn around and got him from Toronto. The Blues' big move, though, was they got Zbigniew Michalek.
There you go.
Defenseman.
Bless you.
From Arizona. Nice piece on D. Not a top four kind of guy, but a nice depth piece for the Blues. Elsewhere, Minnesota acquired Chris Stewart from Buffalo, Sean Bergenheim from Florida, Jordan Leopold from the Blue Jackets, which that was a cute story. Did you see the thing about his daughter?
His daughter, Jordan Leopold, wrote the letter. Yeah.
Saying, bring my daddy home.
Yeah.
That was cool. But the biggest move for the Wild was their previous move of bringing in Devan Dubnyk from Arizona. That is insane how well he is playing there.
And again, you know, going back to even our Iceman argument about Alan York and everything else, goalies are dependent on the team in front of them. That's why I think it's the stupidest thing to give a goalie a Hart Trophy, because they are so dependent on the team in front of them. Devan Dubnyk was in Edmonton. Edmonton is a complete joke. And now he's backing up Mike Smith in Arizona, who's struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up to Minnesota, and he's got the world on fire. He's gotten them back into the playoffs, and they could make a nice long run.
Well, just look at last year. The Preds, when Rene got hurt last year, they traded to get Dubnyk in for goaltending depth, and he couldn't even be number three on their depth chart. He ended up getting waived when Rene was still hurt.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's just weird.
It's not weird. It's you have to build a solid team, and then you need a goaltender to make the hard save every once in a while.
True. Elsewhere, the Pittsburgh Penguins got Daniel Winnick from Toronto. Boy, Toronto got rid of a lot of pieces.
Yeah, any talent that we had is gone.
They also got defenseman Ben Lovejoy, great name, from Anaheim. And their previous big deal was they got David Perron a while back from Edmonton. And that's been a nice deal. He's been playing on a line with Crosby a lot. And Perron's a pretty darn good player.
Talent needs talent.
Yep. The Detroit Red Wings finally got a decent defenseman they've been looking for forever. Decent.
What?
Decent.
Where would Marek Zielicki play on either the Preds or the Blues?
Probably not on them.
Exactly.
But they have two of the best defense corps in the league. Detroit's been looking for depth.
Marek Zielicki is 39 years old, and he has been irrelevant since he was 30.
He was, honestly, I was never a fan to begin with.
Exactly.
Even in his peak, I was not.
I don't think this is the move that the Detroit Red Wings were hoping
to
make.
No, they were going after Phaneuf. But apparently the price was too high.
I don't know how much they were going after Phaneuf.
Yeah. So they get Zidlicky on defense. They also got Eric Cole from Dallas. And when I saw that, I said, Eric Cole's still playing?
Yeah.
Wow. Montreal gets Torrey Mitchell from Buffalo and Jeff Petrie from Edmonton. Yep, moving on.
Real solid D.
Yeah.
They are.
Would you rather have Jeff Petrie or Marek Zidlicky?
Oh, Jeff Petrie. Marek Zidlicky, to me, is a number seven defenseman.
At this point.
Yeah. I mean, and even back in the day, he's a good puck-moving defenseman, but that's it.
He's a defensive liability.
Yeah. And now you pair him up with a Cronwall or something like that, that'll balance it out. But by no means did that put the Red Wings over the top.
Oh, no, I don't think so. The Rangers got probably the best defenseman moving at the deadline. Keith Yandle goes to New York from Arizona, and they gave up a decent amount, a third-pairing defenseman, a prospect, a first-rounder, and a second-rounder. Yep. So that's a big package, but Keith Yandle's a pretty darn good player.
He is a fantastic one, and that, you know, Detroit's been rumored to want him for 2+ years now, and New York seems to be the opposite. They made that deal, and I think even before he showed up, they were winning games. Yeah. I mean, they're just blowing teams out. So that team is excited, and they are probably going to go deep in the playoffs.
They are trending up. Yeah. Also a good team in the Big Apple. The Islanders acquired Michael Neuwirth, goaltender from Buffalo, and that seemed like it was a case of Neuwirth was just playing too darn well for the Sabres, and he was ruining their tank job. So they were like, get out of here. The Islanders don't necessarily need him. He's going to be a backup to Yaroslav Halak, but
if
Buffalo got rid of both of their goalies because they traded Jonas Enroth to Dallas earlier.
If you watch the NHL, if they feel like this truly is a tank job, they'll change. It's already a lottery to get that first pick.
They're going to change.
And you could see like 20% chance for the bottom five teams and just totally shuffle it up.
The Bruins acquired Max Talbot from Colorado. Thoughts?
They're up against the cap.
Yeah, they can't do a whole lot.
And so they're still looking to replace Jerome Iginla.
Yeah.
And
without the money to do it.
And they had to move away from their defenseman that went to the Islanders right before the season started because of salary cap issues. I'm trying to think. Not Seidenberg, but the other one. Johnny Boychuk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're just – it's what happens. They won their cups, and all their players got paid. And then, of course – Krejci injured now, and they're in a lot of trouble.
Yep. The Florida Panthers going for it with some old guys. They brought in Jaromir Jagr from New Jersey. He's about 87 years old at this point. Gave up a second and a third to get him. Seems a little steep, but Jagr's been producing. Not so much producing. They also got Danny Heatley from Anaheim. That was the...
They got rid of somebody... And
they got rid of Thomas Fleischman, and they got Heatley back.
And they said, well, we'll take Fleischman off your hands and his salary, but you got to take some salary back.
Yeah.
So Heatley has been playing in the AHL, so he may not even make the roster.
Yep. The Los Angeles Kings got defenseman Andrej Sekera from Carolina for a first and a prospect, and he is a second-pairing defenseman at best.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he plays. Now, they want to make one last run with this team that they got put together, and that Slava Voynov issue smacking around his wife.
That really hurt him.
So they had to look for something.
Yep. As mentioned earlier, the Lightning acquired Braden Coburn from Philadelphia. They gave up a first and a third to get a defenseman who scores a point in every fourth game. That's awful steep, man.
I don't know. And we'll see. Yzerman has made some good deals in the past. He traded away St. Louis last year and got Callahan and 2 first-round picks, and Callahan was an unrestricted free agent, loved it, re-upped there. So he may be smarter than, if they pair him with the big young kid down there, defenseman, Hedman, that could be, a perfect 1-2 combination where Coburn just brings the hate and Hedman brings all the skills.
Coburn was one of those guys that for a few years – Philly said he was untouchable. They were not going to trade him because he was like their blue chip prospect. And it's like he just never developed into what they thought he was going to be. Maybe he will, and with a change of scenery, we'll see.
Well, and talent around him.
Yeah, that helps. The Washington Capitals acquired Curtis Glencross from Calgary for a second and a third. Really?
Yeah.
They also shipped out a couple of picks, I believe, to get Tim Gleason from Carolina.
Glencross is a guy that, if he's playing well, he'll be a difference maker.
He's one of those third, fourth line grinder type.
No, he's more of a second liner.
Well,
if he can score the puck if he's playing his best, he's a 25-30 goal scorer.
But will he be a second liner in Washington?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You would think if they gave up a second and third. That's a lot to give up for a third line.
I think he's one of those guys that is probably second line talent, but in there, he's going to be one of those guys that they slot on the third line to try to have that quote unquote secondary scoring. Yeah. We'll see.
Yep. But they're struggling too. I mean, they're barely.
They've got a little rocky. Yep. The Ducks got James Wisniewski from the Blue Jackets. Also, Simone Dupre from Pittsburgh, and as mentioned, Thomas Fleischmann from Florida.
If they get healthy down there, watch out for the Ducks.
Yep. They've been good all season. The Winnipeg Jets got Lee Stempniak from New York, the Rangers. Yuri Tlusty from Carolina.
T-Lusty.
Yes.
I
like that. And previously, their big deal was getting Tyler Myers and Drew Stafford from Buffalo for Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian.
Stepniak and T. Lusty, just depth forwards.
Yeah.
But already Myers and Stafford are
making a difference.
Big dividends. And that team, I got to watch that game. They played the L.A. Kings. The L.A. Kings had won 8 in a row, and the Jets just blew it. Just totally out-talented them, out-roughed them, everything. The Jets look good.
They're a good team. That's been a team that's been slowly trending up the last few years, and it's just been like if they could just get decent goaltending.
Well, and that's what I talk about my Maple Leafs and how frustrating it is, because you look at the Jets, they've never panicked. They have not given up their prospects, and they're all developing, and now they've got this great team. Same with Florida, and it's so sad that no one – you know, they haven't been in the playoffs for so long that fan base is nearly non-existent. But Florida has resisted the urge to overpay to bring people to town. They've kept their draft picks. They're developing them, and they are so close to making it.
They may not make it this year, but that's a very good team that's getting better.
Yep. They are young. They are up and coming, and they'll just keep building off of it.
Yep. And last and certainly least, I'm a Blues fan. I have to say the Blackhawks are least. With Patrick Kane injured, they acquired Antoine Vermette from Arizona. They gave up an AHL defenseman and a first-round pick to get him.
The big thing here is, granted, they gave up a first, which is kind of surprising, but Phoenix is retaining salary. And Chicago
They're like the Bruins. They're up against the cap.
And it only gets worse next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already talked with Johnny Kells that he may be their backup.
Yeah.
Because they just
new $89 million contracts to to Kane and Taves.
They kick in, and they're going to be hurting.
Yep.
But this is the worst deal of the entire year.
They also gave up a second and a fourth to get 39-year-old Kimmo Tiininen, once a very good player, from Philadelphia, and he hasn't even played
this entire year. He had a blood clot issue.
Yeah, and those are scary.
Yeah, definitely, because that clot goes to your heart. You're dead. It's like a bullet going off in your chest. And so, yeah, he's been on medication, and he couldn't skate. And they gave up a second and a fourth for a 39-year-old defenseman.
Yeah.
I don't...
Odd deal.
And they already have Keith and Seabrook and Jalmerson and Oduya. I mean, how much more do you need? But
you're giving up a second and a fourth for a guy that at best is going to be a third pairing guy.
Yep.
So
if he can even play, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the end of the season crunch schedule and then going into the playoffs with the crunch schedule. Is this 39-year-old guy going to be in shape to play?
Yeah.
I just
it's going to take him a few weeks just to get up to speed.
Yep.
So one thing you mentioned about the tanking and changing it. What do you think about the suggestion? Mike Greenberg, Greeny on Mike and Mike, has often talked about in the NBA, because, you know, they never talk hockey, but I think the same concept could apply. He thinks that in the NBA, what they need to do, and you could also apply it to the NHL, instead of awarding the lowest or the highest draft pick to the worst teams, you change it around and flip-flop it to try to encourage teams to still fight for the playoffs and give the first draft pick to the best team that does not make the playoffs.
Well, I think one thing you have to look at when you look at the Bruins and the Chicago Blackhawks, both in salary cap limitations, maybe we need to get to the point where we just flip the whole thing over and the Stanley Cup winner gets first pick, because they're going to have to start trading away players
and getting cheap talent.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, we're seeing all these Stanley Cup winners with salary cap issues. Mm. So, Just a thought there. No, I don't like it. I would rather do a true lottery. Like, if you don't make the playoffs, everyone gets an even chance. And yes, Buffalo, Edmonton, you suck. Sorry, you suck.
Yeah.
Be better. And just all 14 teams that don't make the playoffs, what would that percentage be? Not even math is way hard for that.
But 14 out of 30.
I think it's a little over like 7.01%. So put all the, you know, put all the golf balls in and just spit it out. And, oh, Edmonton, you're picking 14th.
I don't think we'll ever see them do that. But I do think they should at least tweak the formula to where you don't get as many ping pong balls. And well, get rid of the thing
NHL's
about...
tweaked it pretty solidly. But I think they also have a rule where you can't move any farther than three.
So
and
if,
I would
if
say
you're
just,
the worst, then you're still guaranteed a top three pick.
So I just say put them all. Just make the... If you really don't want even a sense of tanking, then make it all even.
Yeah, that's true. That would definitely do it. Because then, yeah, it doesn't matter if you finish 20th or 30th.
So then the only trades you're making at the trade deadline are, you know, picks and prospects for the upcoming year.
Yeah.
And to build your team around, not just moving stuff out so that you can get the first pick overall.
Right. Yeah. I just, on the topic of the draft, I'm just glad the Icemen are right in line to get the first pick.
We are.
Year.
Do we get Connor McDavid?
I hope
we're taking
so.
McDavid or Eichel.
We get Connor Eichel and...
We're getting Chuck is all we're getting.
Yeah, a whole team of Chucks.
Final thoughts.
Next show's next week.
Next show's next week.
As far as we know.
Yep.
You got the... You're
not
be,
guaranteeing a win by then.
Yeah. You may be on the radio Tuesday night.
Yep.
And then,
oh, no, hopefully I'm getting both Sunday and Tuesday.
Sunday and Tuesday, and then we'll talk about it.
Yes, it'll be a lot of fun.
It'll be more fun to talk about you on the radio than what's happening on the ice.
He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, webmaster for IcemanManiacs.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because that's the way the internet works, IcemanManiacs.com. And you are listening to Iceman Insights, part of the Amusement Park, right here on WYIR 96.9 FM, part of Youth Incorporated Youth Ministering. Oh, crap, I was rolling.
Yeah.
Part of Youth Incorporated Youth Ministry that has been reaching out to area youth for over 20 years.
I like how you had to slow it down.
Yeah.
We'll see you on the radio.
Tummy sticks.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.